For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. One of you guys should hit the road after the picks you made over the weekend. This is the Man Up segment. Someone's not going to be feeling too good after today.
No, well, let me tell you something. When I get my NASCAR driver in the championship four.
It was a great weekend in Atlanta sports.
When Atlanta United wins on Saturday to extend a playoff series. When the Falcons take care of business. Hell, Chris Sale won a gold glove over the weekend. I mean, he won it during the season, but he got announced yesterday he won that gold glove. Even being wrong about a couple of games that, you know, that ain't gonna hurt my feelings. One of them I wasn't even really wrong about. I even said in my analysis, which we'll get to, that about a certain player that should have played. And for Larry in the truck wants to start tweeting at me. The Florida game wasn't. There was no debacle in Florida with UGA. Yeah. Florida went down there, a lesser team, and almost went to bat with UGA, and they did it with a guy who was playing at Harvard.
Yeah.
Last year, at quarterback. So
I want to make sure that I take victory here too, because Bo just last segment talked about how good Caleb McGarry played. Right, so I'm going to actually take that as a dub as well when I get Bo to talk about how good the Falcons' offensive line has been. Man, we love talking about the rims and the paint job on the car, but rarely can I get Bo to talk about the engine of the car. So I'm going to take that as a dub here as well. So I'm feeling good about that.
Also,
good vibes on Monday.
That girl on Twitter, who is a big Vanderbilt fan, just said, guess who? She said, guess who owns the state of Alabama? And a hint, not Tuscaloosa.
Vilt. So, hey, hats off to him, man. Dude, that's a good program right now, back in the top 25. Love to see it.
Yeah. So, you know what? No further ado, Mike.
Yeah.
You need to man up.
I will.
Before we get started, Mike, and before you and I man up.
Go.
Dylan needs to man up.
Oh, don't do that.
Because
that
Dylan, for 2 weeks in a row, has not done the one thing I've asked him to do.
And that's It'll put happen. My voice I'll man on up. That intro. That's okay, though.
It'll happen.
Doesn't need to be on there, man.
It does need to. Bo is absolutely right. It does need to be on there because that's fair. Mike has been plenty wrong during this segment as well.
Okay.
So it does need to be on there.
He
so,
has to.
Bo, before y'all man up, I will man up and say I'll send that email to Steve today, pronto.
All right. Like your haircut.
Thank you.
Well, you got a new haircut. If you can't see it,
I do know. It does look good. Looks good, Dylan. That's all when I came in.
Thank you, Tiff.
You're welcome.
All right. Where do we want to start, Michael?
Well, I think we should probably start with the good for both of us because that's the vibes I'm getting. I'll go first if you don't mind. I stepped in. I said, basically, this Falcons defense, Bo, it's too good. It's too good to give up all those points, given the under and that Falcons and Dallas game.
For my NFL lock of the week, I'm going straight down to the bins. No, I'm not taking the Falcons. I wish I was. I don't feel that confident, but I am going with the over-under in the Falcons-Cowboys game. 51.5 is the number. Now, that begs me to say, you know what, man? Falcons, 30 points, three of their last four games. Dallas, maybe the passing attack gets us. We can't rush the passer. No! Vegas knows all those things, Dylon. I'm going under 51.5. Both these teams will start slow. It might be 0-0 after the first quarter before the Falcons pull away. Under 51. Falcons, Cowboys, lock it up.
You swag and surf.
You do. You swag and surf. Y'all like that?
I know it's your good, but the only thing you were right on in that entire pick was the fact that they would go under because you said it would be 0-0 after the first quarter. That was wrong. You said you weren't very confident. You should have been. You were wrong on your confidence.
Should have been confident?
Yeah, you should have been confident.
No, man.
Always, man.
What you got here?
Well, The game that a lot of people thought might be the game of the day would be was Detroit at Green Bay, and it was a bad weather game. Dylan said that was his pick for us. You thought Green Bay was going to win, and I told you not so fast because Detroit might be the best team in the NFL. I don't know what Jordan Love's going to do, and I don't think Malik Willis, if he has a play, is ready for Detroit with or without Aiden Hutchinson. Detroit might be the best team in the trenches in the NFL. If they're not, they are gosh darn close to it. Give me the Lions minus the 2.5. This is the only way I'm going to pass Mike is to go against Mike.
I don't think it matters where we play at. Doesn't matter about the conditions. We knew that coming in here. But we want to know if we validated anything. Are we going to validate being able to play in the weather? It doesn't matter, man. That's just the way you're built.
Oh, you validated me, Coach, and I appreciate that.
I love that, man. I love hearing him in the post game. All right, unfortunately, I got to go over to my ugly Kentucky-Tennessee. Kentucky was a 17-point dog at one point right there at the end. They actually pulled to within 3 of this game.
They're blacking out Saturday night in Knoxville, in Neyland. They are far and away more talented than Kentucky. The line is 17.5, whatever you want to put it. Kentucky, we love the blue-collar version and the Mark Stoops. They're not playing that way. I think Tennessee runs them out of the stadium on Saturday night, gets it done. Tennessee minus 17, wearing the all-black unis after the reveal video, fireworks going on, Neyland Stadium, the whole thing's rocking. Tennessee, I love it, man. Tennessee minus the points against Kentucky this weekend.
Tennessee minus points. Boy, I can't wait till you're wrong on that one. Kentucky's got something to prove.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, man, Kentucky scored that fourth quarter touchdown and only lose by 10, so I was definitely wrong on that one. But, yeah, it happens. I went 2-2 this weekend.
I mean, it's normal for you. You're spinning wrong a lot.
There you go. Which one of your 3 losses are you going to do here?
Well, I guess Dylan wants to do the wants me to do, yeah, right. Wants to do the Army game that I picked. Because let me tell you something, going into this game, Tiff, I know you you got to do the game, so you know this. But Army had scored 35 or more in 6 of 7 games. They had scored 42 or more in 5 of 7. Bryson Daly was going into the game, had 26 combined touchdowns.
Led the team in rushing.
Yeah, only if he had played.
If only.
Air Force at Army. Our very own Tiffany Blackman is on the sidelines for this game. The over-under.
I didn't know she was at that one.
The over-under. You don't listen to her. The over-under is 41.5. Army has scored 42 or more in 5 of their 7 games.
Okay.
They've scored 35 or more in 6 of their 7. Bryson Daly, the quarterback, not Dyson Daniels, has got 26 total touchdowns, 19 of them rushing. Pick Army if you want with the cover. I don't care. I don't do covers in some of these games. I'm telling you to pick the over 41.5. Army might do it themselves. Mm.
Psych! That's the wrong number!
What was the final and that one ended up being?
20-3.
Oh, man. You only missed it by about 20
points. I'm going to side with you on this one.
Oh,
just because I was there and I know what took place last minute leading up to kickoff. And, you know, we were informed we would not have the Bryson Daly playing in that football game.
You know what? I actually just came up with an idea. We should do this. Let's get the morning shifters. Let's get the shifties involved. I'm going to put out a poll. Should Bo get this game taken off his record? Yes or no?
No.
But you got to put it in context that he was literally Tiff, what?
Game time, like we had no indication of it. So we were told, I was on the field, we were told right then.
It's simple. If you were in Vegas, would you get your money back? Answers.
Well, that's not. Hold on. No. That's not necessarily true because when there are injuries that happen right out of nowhere that has never been disclosed or sickness or whatever the reason is, there have been games that have been taken off the board by Vegas because of those things.
Yeah.
Where they say, you know what? I don't know how. Maybe they give you credit or whatever. Maybe you won't get your money back necessarily, but you get the credit. But they would take that. They could have taken that off the board.
I would take this off your record.
The executive producer has decided, and his decision is he's going to let the shifties decide. So a poll will be out shortly. You vote yes or no.
I think the executive producer's copping out a little bit there. He could just man up, and this is the man up segment, and say, I'm making the executive decision.
Whoa. First of all, I've lightened up a little bit for you, because at first I said it wasn't coming off. Now I have had a slight change of heart, and I'm at least letting people vote.
Yeah, I'm sure Garrett might have told you that how they would have done it at Chick-fil-A, so...
What?
He's our resident Chick-fil-A employee. Look at him. He says, my pleasure. Every time you ask him to do something. says, my pleasure. He even got the khaki pants on. Anyways, look, it is what it is. If you take it off, you don't. I mean, I'm going to catch Mike at the end of the day. There's still plenty of time left.
I'll let the shifties decide. I will.
I mean, we're on 9 games into the season in NFL. So we got, what, 8 more? And actually, 9 more weeks. Because, you know, teams get byes in their 17-game schedule. And then we've got, we'll pick through the playoffs, won't we? Maybe those be our mandatory.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time. Yeah, I'm talking about playoffs in college. But, yeah.
If for that sure. makes you feel better, if that makes you sleep better at night, then
beating Mike,
go ahead and look ahead to the future. When we come back here on the morning shift, Dave Archer joins us here on the show, the former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, will break down the win over the Cowboys. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the morning shift and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here post a Falcons victory over the Cowboys. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Tiff. Did you sign up for 4 years of service for the country while you were up there?
I did not, but I am grateful for the individuals that do go out and protect our country.
No question.
You know, I'm already through the gauntlet here when I work with these 2 guys in the morning.
You are already signed up for a tour, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much called that. Dave, when it comes to this victory, what impressed you more? Another great performance by Kirk Cousins, or was it the defense trying to step things up and getting some sacks, finally, 3 in a game this season?
Yeah, I think you got to probably hang your hat on both of those, Tiff. I think those are 2 really good points. I think that, you know, Kirk continues to be that kind of that guiding light, if you will, a guy you can hang your hat on, save the Seattle game where it seemed like he was a little off in that game. For the most part, he's been very accountable and a guy you can really lean on. Bijan Robinson becomes that guy that you, man, workhorse. He touched the ball, I think, 26, 27 times yesterday for right around 150 yards. He was dynamic, and you continue to see guys around Kirk making plays. I mean, Drake goes up the ladder early in the game before he went out with the hip and made a couple of big-time grabs. Mooney continues to make plays. Ray-Ray McCloud made a couple of really good plays, made the touchdown catch, but he also made a third-down catch that extended a drive. So all those guys continue to do well, and obviously the offensive line continues to protect. I think the defensive side of the ball, you know, other than the opening drive, and, Mike, I know you're probably honed in on this, too. The first my key to the game, and Bo remembers this, I said, well, I think this is a good run-after-the-catch team, and they're going to need to do that if they want to move the football, Dallas, because they're not running the ball very well. And lo and behold, the first 3 plays out of the box, they've got like 50 yards of yak yards after catch. And then you begin to kind of rein them in a little bit, and you're doing a pretty good job. And then all of a sudden you get that last drive, and I know they're kind of trying to do – eat the clock and give yards and eat the clock, but I was a little disturbed by the last drive of the game, but I thought the defense really played a pretty solid game.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that, Dave. I think if you take away the last drive and the first drive, like, the defensive stats look a lot better.
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. All of a sudden, Jake Ferguson out the gate turns into, you know, Justin Jefferson or something from Minnesota. It was kind of crazy to watch. One of the things I want to talk about, too, and I hate that it's taken us this long, honestly, to get here, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. Seeing some of the managerial issues that the Cowboys are facing, kind of, Dave, popped up in my head how good Raheem Morris has been in situational football and some of the calls he's made, some of the 4th downs he's gone for. It seems like he's almost batting 1,000 in some of these late game calls or situational calls. We talked about it this morning, the fake punts that have popped up now 2 weeks in a row that you've squashed, the 4th down stops. Raheem Morris seems like he's operating at an extremely high level, and I know you saw some of those same things yesterday.
Yeah, so I heard you talking about it post-game, Mike, and it's a great point. The overall composition of this staff seems to be really melded together. I think that, you know, there's certain things that bother you. There's some shortcomings that every team has, whether it's, you know, your ability to stop that short passing game or toss up the run game consistently. They're getting some yardage on kickoff returns some. But as far as a unit, with Marquise Williams and Jimmy Lake and, of course, Zach Robinson as the coordinators and all those guys underneath Raheem, Raheem's the guy that's standing up in front of everybody in those staff meetings and saying, hey, this is what we need to concentrate on. This is where we need to be. And so I would agree with you completely. I think that the way they're buttoned up on little things, and you and I both got pounded in our head as players, the little things are going to make what the big thing happen. They're going to make the big thing happen. And so if you're Natron Brooks and you're playing tight coverage on a fake punt and you almost come up with an interception, but you also take away their opportunity to extend a drive right there to begin the second half, that's a huge play. Gives us a short field opportunity. I mean, those little things like that, Ray McLeod catches a ball, you know, 3 yards short of the first down, and they're tutoring those guys, hey, immediately get north and south. And that's something maybe a second nature deal that receivers do, but they're doing those kind of things. It's not like, hey, well, you talk about that as a young receiver throughout your career. No, you've got to emphasize those things. And that's what Raheem's doing. I think you're bang on, Mike. I think he's done such a great job with the overall picture of what they're supposed to be, and they continue to execute that way.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the defense, Arch, because they held – you know, CeeDee Lamb to his second lowest receiving yard output when he's been targeted doubled more than 10 times or more or whatever. And I think that's incredible. But I thought that Caden Ellis and Arnold Ebiketie had their best games of the season. What do you think about how they played yesterday?
Yeah, the CeeDee Lamb thing, you know, CeeDee got banged up early in the game. So I'm gonna credit some of that to that. And even he was a warrior to stay in that game and fight because they didn't really have any offensive weapons. Ferguson was pretty good, as Mike mentioned. But Lamb really fought as hard as he could for Dallas to try to give them an opportunity. He even caught the late touchdown after his shoulder was completely torn up. But to give him some credit there. But no question about it, Arnold Ebiketie has been continuing to come on. We talked about him for the last several weeks, as you start talking about, okay, where are the sacks? Where are the pressures? Ebiketie continues to kind of hone his skill and what he can and can't get away with. And I think he's becoming a guy that you hope maybe he would become maybe last year, maybe just a little bit longer to develop here, but he seems to be coming on some. I thought the entire defensive front turned it up last week or this week. You could see it in Grady Jarrett's eyes when the flip of the coin, he was going to be a monster. I thought Goldman was pretty good on the interior. I thought Onyemata was pretty good. Street back on the field did some good stuff on the interior. And Judon, it looked like, had a little bit more pep in his step, maybe because of the guys around him were playing well. But Caden Ellis' ability to diagnose stuff from that linebacker position, he made a huge play in that opening drive. I know you guys remember after those three plays you talk about with the run after catch, he makes an unbelievable play on a three-count screen where he knifes underneath the tackle and makes a tackle for loss and forces a 3rd and 12, and we get off the field there in that opening drive, and it looked like Dallas was just going to go right down and shove it in the end zone. And Caden made a couple plays like that throughout the game that were difference-making plays that were either for a loss or right at the line of scrimmage that changed the chain situation, changed the down and distance situation for McCarthy to call for Dak Prescott. So I thought that he made a lot of plays, no question.
Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline with us, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave, it's been a while since the Falcons have had a start to the season like this. Could you kind of just give us a pulse of what it's like within the organization, given they're in control in the NFC South now, too? A lot of good things happening.
Yeah, 6-3. I think, Tiff, you got to go back to, you know, you hate to mention the 16 season because you don't want to, you draw any comparisons. This team has some of those. They're not quite as dynamic yet on offense as that 16 team, but you got to go back to 2016 when they've started 6-3. And to be where you are, especially what's happening tonight with Kansas City playing Tampa tonight, if the Chiefs knock Tampa off tonight, all of a sudden you look up because you got the two games in hand against the Bucs. You're three games potentially in front of everybody in your division. I can't remember the last time we were kind of in that position. Maybe you have to go back to 16. If you remember, that 16 team kind of stumbled to 7-5 by mid-December, and it was Kansas City that came in here and beat Atlanta in December and dropped them to 7-5. And then, of course, they got on that roll that rolled them into Super Bowl, the Super Bowl. But those are great feelings to have, Tiff. The organization's excited. There's a lot of energy around the organization. A lot of energy in the city right now. I think the fan base is starting to kind of sink their teeth into, hey, this is a pretty good team. We need to get behind this team. I thought the building was really good yesterday. I don't know, Mike, how you felt about it. There's a lot of Cowboy fans there, but I thought the Falcon fans did a great job of drowning them out. How many offside or false start penalties did Dallas have? Those administrative penalties, you got to give the crowd some credit there on that stuff with the silent count and their inability to operate. I think there were 6 penalties that were pre-snap penalties on Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's a crowd scenario. So that tells you about energy in the building.
Hey, Arch, Bijan Robinson's got 173 touches this season for 935 yards from scrimmage with 5 touchdowns. He's averaging about 5.5 yards a touch. Is he going under the radar? I mean, shouldn't he be getting a little more pub? This guy's one of the most dynamic players and versatile players in the NFL right now.
Did you do all that math yourself, or did Mike
you know the answer to that, Dave? No.
There were a lot of fingers. There are a lot of finger counting this morning at 5 a.m.
Like my 4-year-old.
Does he have his shoes off? Is he using his toes on some of this stuff?
I will not confirm nor deny that.
I don't know. Is he flying under the radar, Bo? I mean, you and I, we see him every weekend, and so I think we appreciate him here. Is he nationally being appreciated? Really haven't paid enough attention to the national stuff. And frankly, the national stuff seems to downplay Atlanta and has for years. And so I think Bijan continues to do what he's doing. He's going to get the recognition. I guarantee he's getting the recognition from his peers, because there's been guys over the first 9 games that are still trying to find some of their uniform. He's screwed people in the ground. The guys have lost shoes, all sorts of stuff, helmets, trying to find this guy and put him on the ground. And so I guarantee you he's got the respect of his teammates. That's number one. He's got the respect of his peers would be number two. And if the media comes along for the dance, so be it. I think they eventually will. But he's doing so. How about, did you see the play Barkley made last night?
Oh,
Saquon
goodness.
Barkley.
Oh, my goodness.
That's Olympian.
In the reverse jump over the guy. I mean, unbelievable. That's the kind of stuff Bijan's doing. And you know, I know Saquon's getting a little bit more love. He's been in the league a little bit longer. But those two guys are dynamic players. They're very similar to one another. And I know Mike's made the comparison. I have, too. And you kind of reluctantly make it. But there was a guy named Barry Sanders that could make you miss in a phone booth. And these two guys are doing some of those kind of things. Now, they got to do it a longer period of time. But I'm certainly glad number 7's on our team.
Yeah, and to real quick, Arch, I think that you look at Barry Sanders. He was so good at doing a move that sets up another move, and that's kind of what Bijan brings to the table, to your point. One of the other guys I want to talk to you about before we have to let you go, Arch, Darnell Mooney. Not only does he have the 5 catches, almost 100 yards, I think he had 88 on the day, but the 2 plays on 4th down that I think were such big plays in this football game, both times Kirk letting the ball go before Darnell even gets his eyes around. And I think that when you're doing that, you've done such a good job talking to Kirk about this in your conversations. They are on the same page. And I thought it was eye-opening. Your conversation with Kirk after the game yesterday, him talking about Darnell was a pro's pro and one of the best he had ever been around in terms of being a pro and doing things like that. I thought that was huge praise from a guy like Kirk Cousins.
No question about it, Mike. This is a guy that you have to go back to 21, had a 1,000-yard season in Chicago, and then kind of was a lost guy in Chicago because of some of the acquisitions they made. Obviously, DJ Moore came in there, and he kind of became that second, third guy and kind of a lost piece. Well, here he and Kirk have melded together, and it's been fun to watch. I didn't realize Mooney was as good a route runner as he is. I mean, we knew he had great speed to blow the top off. He gets clean, and we almost saw him take a little short hitch route yesterday, take it to the house for about 80 yards. He does just an eyelash from getting that done. But his ability to run routes, and obviously the little rub route where he gets clean there, there's not a lot going on there, just patience. But the route you're talking about, the second, third down he catches, it was a huge play where he runs a double move and then throws back shoulder. I mean, he completely screws the corner in the ground. I mean, his ability to run routes has been phenomenal. I think Kirk really appreciates that part of it. I mean, a lot of guys can run. A lot of guys can, I guess, catch the football. But can you put that other piece of the arc together and maybe just dissecting a cornerback where he has no idea where you're going? That's what Mooney's doing. I think Kirk loves that.
Dave, as always, great having you here with us on a Monday. Thanks for the insight.
Good to have you. See ya.
That was Atlanta Falcons former QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the morning shift. Up next.
Yeah, it's rivalry week.
Yeah,
Tiff.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
It's rivalry week. And so I want to commiserate in the misery.
I last week was rivalry week.
No, we're going to New Orleans, and I want to have fun with the misery that is the New Orleans Saints.
Of course you do. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. This is the morning shift. We'll be right back with Life of Squid on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow is the day the college football playoff rankings come out. So I had to process that because it's already that point in the year. And I also keep wanting to say BCS for some reason. It hasn't been BCS for like
quite a while.
How long?
Yeah,
tomorrow's a big day for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got the trade deadline.
Trade deadline
in the
tomorrow
NFL
as well.
A lot happening.
Yeah, that's a big one as well. So yeah.
So you find out. And I don't know. It's weird for me that the rankings don't mean as much to me as they would, because four teams are going to get automatic bids. And so it's – I think it matters really who's in the at-large. And so you kind of have an – who might have an inside track. Because some of those teams aren't going to have maybe a chance to win their conference. Or they might already be in the early poll as far as inside the top 12. And they could go and maybe lose in the conference title game, if that makes sense.
I wonder how many teams are alive in the SEC right now. Like, how many still have a shot to get to Atlanta for the SEC championship after this past week?
A&M, Texas, Georgia, pretty sure LSU.
LSU's, yeah.
And?
I don't know. Tennessee's got to be there. Because
they're
top 10.
Tennessee's only got one loss.
I don't think Bama has a shot at it with two losses, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, two losses gets you. It all depends on what happens, obviously. But I don't know, man. It's just crazy. It just feels wide open right now.
Because it is, and it feels. I think it feels partly the wide openness is because of no divisions, and you know if when you lose it in a division, it's like it's different because you know you're going to play the team head to head, right? And so it's going to eliminate. But without the head to head, it kind of makes it a much muddier picture as far as how it looks.
Definitely does, man. It seems like you got to have a rocket science degree if you're going to figure out who's going.
Well, I don't have a rocket science degree, but I'm as smart as a rocket scientist.
I cannot, in good conscience, let you get away with that statement.
Yeah, I was going to say, what even is a rocket scientist? Is that aerospace engineering? Are you a rocket scientist? Yeah.
Hell, I don't know. Why would I know?
Because you're the smartest guy.
Yeah, but being the smartest guy in this room, I mean, you know, that's what I am. But
you didn't say in this room.
Well, compared to y'all, I'm a rocket scientist. How about that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll let you have it. Sure. You can have a cookie today.
Don't forget, W Sauce. Fire Shire breakfast sauce.
Biscuit.
I just post my meat on Instagram. My guys at Owl Inn, New Realm, Owl Inn Lager. I'm actually going to the game tomorrow night. Kennesaw State basketball home opener. I'm going to go hang out with my boy Chaz and all those guys and watch a little KSU basketball and the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic.
Before you get to the classic, are you going to get a red carpet or anything? Are you going to get any treatment like I got over the weekend? Don't know if you saw the Georgia State game, but they had on notable Georgia State alums. And so, you know, after Ludacris and Julia Roberts, you know.
Did your name get, like, wrote somewhere?
Person, you know,
got red carpeted?
It was a CBS Sports Network game, but shout out to the producer.
Wow.
Morales that did that game.
Were you like?
I was informed by some people here and then by my producer for my game, his brother was working the Georgia State game. So that's who else sent me the video.
Oh, wow. So you kind of got at the very end. Oh, and our very own Tiffany Blackman.
You know.
Thank you for you. That's awesome.
Next to Julia Robertson, you know.
Yeah, because those things go together.
I'm just trying to pull.
You just said Julia Robertson?
That's what they had her on. I didn't know.
They said Julia Roberts and Tiffany Blackman.
They showed pictures of people, and I was last.
Nice.
You hilarious.
Continue your segment. I didn't mean to.
Hilarious.
Hopefully you get that treatment tomorrow.
Well, I don't need that treatment because, you know, I'm just a humble guy from humble beginnings, Steph, and I like to live my life with a certain
just, you're putting
amount
on a great
of humility.
Golf tournament, right?
Yeah, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Look, Go to 99 The Game website, click events, and figure out how you can participate in it today. New Orleans Saints have got a lot going on, and it starts with the fact that they lost their seventh straight game, and there was some stuff on Twitter that Derek Carr had to address in his post-game press conference, but then Alvin Kamara as well made some comments, and some think he might have threw some shade at his head coach when he was asked about the confidence that the team had.
I don't know. I feel like dudes is confident. I mean, it's a lot of guys that played a lot of football in here. Like, you just talked about Tyron. I think he's a confident dude. I think Mario, Kim, me, Derek, I think, and then even some of the younger dudes. I think Chris and even Tipton, and, like, we got guys that are confident. Defensive, Brazee, we got, man, we got Grando, we got Pete, like, Alonso. I can keep going. We got guys. I'm naming guys, you know. I think there's confidence there, but it might not be a confidence in something else, so.
What's the something else? I mean, what is the something else? Because I don't know. Do you know?
Well, I don't, but you did see this goes back to the post-game handshake between he and Sean Payton and, you know, them kind of talking to one another. People wondered if he said, hey, come get me. But, yeah, there's he had a great game, and I 100% understand that Kamara's got a lot of confidence. I agree with him on that.
Well,
it might not be a confidence in something else.
His contract's been redone, so he's going to be there, so he might outlast Dennis Allen. Then former Saints wide receiver, and you know, he's just I'm not a huge Michael Thomas fan. I'm going to just put that out there. He's also a little bit of a malcontent at times. He goes off about the quarterback. They fired all them coaches trying to cover his flaws up. They still did the same blank. Dude tried to lie and say I was jealous of them making Chris wide receiver one. Whole time he can't even get him a decent ball. He needed his blank whooped. Dude, scary and panic and just throw the ball, get him the blank out. He's so blank, but. I guess I'll say but. He's so but, but he said the other word. So he, Derek Carr, for you, I've been told, y'all, he's blank, and it's sad. And then he gave him the middle finger. So he went off about Derek Carr, and Derek Carr got asked about it in his post-game presser.
Love for Mike. You know, and when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years, and he's like the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know. But he's never called me during any of this, you know. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions, just to try. And sometimes you can try as hard as you want, and it just doesn't work out, and that's okay. So I don't know why he feels any type of way.
Handled it well, man. Your hat's off to him. He handled it well. No matter what side you're on, he handled that well.
Is that a question you want to get at, that should be asked, though, in a post-game press conference about why a guy that's not even on your team anymore is going off?
I get the immediacy of it because it happened then. It might be when's the next availability? A Monday thing?
It sucks for all the other media members in that press conference more than it does for Derek Carr, because that's why a lot of guys are guarded in instances like that, because they know which direction the camera is facing. And next time they're asked by just somebody else in that room, he's going to be a little more irritated than he would have before.
All right, that's your Life of Squid. Up next, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.